Chazor Shev from the beginning of Maseches Brachos until Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph. The first three Prokim of our Masechta discuss Kriyas Shema and the Brachos of Kriyas Shema. The next two Prokim, Perek Dalet and Hey, discuss Shemona Esrei and Davening. And the last four Prokim of our Masechta discuss various different Brachos which one can make. Now, out of those last four Prokim, Perek Vov Zayin and Ches discuss Brikos Hanenin, Brachos which one makes on benefiting from something. And the final Perek discuss Brikos Hoda'ah, which are Brachos thanking and praising Hashem for various wonders or occurrences in his life. The simonim for the first perek, in order to remember the Mishnayos, so we know that the focus is Kriyas Shema. So the first Mishnah's simon is Arvis, it discusses the evening Shema. The second Mishnah's simon is Shachris, the morning Kriyas Shema. The simon for Mishnah Gimel is Derech, the position you should be in when you say Kriyas Shema. Mishnah Dalet is Brochus of Kriyas Shema. And Mishnah Hey is Yitzias Mitzrayim, because it discussed whether one needs to say and mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at night. So we've got Arvis, Shachris, Derech, Brochus, Yitzias Mitzrayim. So let's begin. The beginning time to say Kriyas Shema of the evening, everyone agrees, is Tzeis HaKechovim, when three stars come out, which signals the beginning of the night. That is what is meant by Roshach Bacha, when you lie down, because this is the time that people start going to bed. Now in terms of the latest time to say the Kriyas Shema of the evening, that's a three-way machlekes. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you've got until a third of the way through the night. According to the Chachomim, you've got until Chatzos, until midnight, and according to Rabbi Gamliel, you have the whole night, until dawn. And then we actually said that even the Chachomim agreed with Rabbi Gamliel that you've got the whole night. They only say that you should do it by midnight, so that you don't miss the time, because otherwise if you think you've got all night, you might end up falling asleep before having read Kriyas Shema. And the Mishnah also said the story of Rabban Gamliel's sons, who came back one night after midnight, and they asked Rabban Gamliel, do the Chachomim hold that we can still say Kriyas Shema? And he said yes, which shows that even the Chachomim hold that after Chatzos you can still read Kriyas Shema. It's just that ideally you should do it before Chatzos, so that you don't come to missing the time for saying Kriyas Shema. Mishnah Beis told us the times for saying the morning Kriyas Shema. The earliest time, according to the Tanakama, was when there's enough light to see the difference between Techeles, the bluish colour, and white. But according to Eliezer, it's a bit later when there's enough light to see the difference between two similar colours, namely Techeles and green, the colour of leek. So that's for the start time. What about the end time? So that was again a machlekes. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you've got only until Netzachama, until sunrise, whereas according to Rabbi Yeshua, you've got until 3 hours of the day, because when the Pasuk says with Kumecho, when you wake up, it doesn't mean when most people wake up, it means once everyone's woken up. And since princes wake up at 3 hours of the day, everyone can say Kriyas Shema up to that point. If you've missed the time though, then you'll still get rewarded for learning Torah, but you won't have fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema if you read it after 3 hours of the day. Mishnah Gimel, according to Beis Shammai, when you say the evening Kriyas Shema, you have to do it lying down. And the morning Shema, you have to do it while you're standing up. Because the Pasuk says you should read it with Shach B'chav Kumecha. However, Beis Hillel say no, Shach B'chav Kumecha means at the time that you go to bed, and at the time that you wake up, that's when you should say Kriyas Shema. It's not telling you the position in which you should say Kriyas Shema. Rather, you can say it however you like. Like the Pasuk says, V'lech Lech Vaderech, you can do it in your own way. And then Rabbi Tarfon said that he was traveling and he laid down in the evening to say Kriyas Shema like Beis Shammai's opinion, because he held like Beis Shammai, and he put himself into danger. And the Chachom said to him, you would have deserved to be harmed, because once the halacha is decided like Beis Hillel, because they are the majority, you cannot say that Beis Shammai is correct, and therefore you would have deserved to be harmed. Mishnah Dalet said that in the morning, before Kriyas Shema, there are two brachas before it and one afterwards, whereas in the evening, there are two before and two after. Now, one of the two brachas which we say before the morning Shema begins with Baruch Atah Hashem and ends with Baruch Atah Hashem. So that's known as a long bracha. And any bracha which the Chachomim instituted should begin with a baruch or end with a baruch, you can't change that. If the formula of the bracha begins with a baruch or doesn't, you have to do it like it is. Mishnah Hay said that even though the third paragraph of Shema contains the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is not relevant at night, since it also contains the mitzvah of remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim, that has to be done at night, and therefore one has to say the third paragraph of Shema even at night. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah famously said that even though he held that it has to be said at night, he couldn't prove it until Ben Zoma proved it from the Pasuk, which says that you need to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, kol yomei chayecha, all the days of your life. So the word all comes to include the nighttime as well, but the Chachom said that no, the word kol, the word all, just comes to include when Moshiach comes, we'll still thank Hashem and remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. But at least according to Ben Zoma, the word kol teaches that Yitzias Mitzrayim has to be mentioned at night, and that's why we say the third paragraph of Shema even at night. Perek Beis began by telling us that if somebody is reading the Torah and he reaches the paragraph of Shema, and it's actually the time for saying Kriyas Shema, and he hasn't said it yet, if he intends to fulfill his obligation while reading the Torah, then he does fulfill his obligation of Kriyas Shema. But if he doesn't have that intention, even if he says the words, then he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema. And the way we understood the Mishnah is that this Mishnah holds mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. In order to fulfill any mitzvah, One needs to intend to fulfill it. If he doesn't have the intention that he's doing a mitzvah whilst he's doing it, then he does not fulfill his obligation, even though the Gemara does actually fit this Mishnah in, even with the opinion that holds that usually one does have to intend to fulfill the mitzvah in order to fulfill it. In between paragraphs of Shema, and in between the brachos of Shema, according to Rabbi Meir, you're allowed to greet someone and answer back only if you're doing it out of honor. For example, if he's your teacher or if he's your father. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the other person greeted you, then you can answer him even if it's not out of honor. It's just that to greet someone, that has to be only if it's out of honor. Now what about in the middle of a paragraph or in the middle of a bracha? So this is also machlokes. According to Rabbi Meir, you can only greet somebody or answer back to him if it's out of fear that he's going to harm you if you don't answer him or greet him. But Rabbi Yehuda says it's true that when it comes to greeting him yourself, you can only do that if you're afraid. But if he greets you, then you're allowed to answer him even if it's just out of honor and you're not afraid. Now, what exactly are considered the different sections? So there's the first bracha, there's the second bracha, there's Shema and Vahavta, that's considered one section. Then there's Vahoyim Shema, then there's Vayomer, and then Emes V'Yatziv. But according to Yehuda, even though Emes V'Yatziv is a new section, you're still not allowed to interrupt between Vayomer and Emes V'Yatziv, because there's also a pasuk which says V'Hashem Elokim Emes, which is very similar to the end of Vayomer, Hashem Elokeichem, and therefore we want to carry it on into Emes V'Yatziv to be similar to that pasuk. So we say Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, do not interrupt between Elokeichem and the word Emes. Rabbi Shimon Kalchel then explained what the order of the three paragraphs of Shema. The first paragraph is where we accept Hashem's sovereignty and accept Him as being all-powerful, and only once we've done that can we go on to the second paragraph where we accept the mitzvahs which He commanded us to do. And then Vayomer is last because a main focus of that third paragraph is tzitzis, which only applies during the day, whereas the second paragraph applies the whole time because it's to do with fulfilling all mitzvahs and the reward and punishment for doing all mitzvahs. Mishnah Gimel brought four different ways in which someone reads Shema not in a perfect manner. And the question is, does he fulfill his obligation? Number one, if he can't hear what he's saying, according to the Tanakama, that's fine. He fulfills his obligation, but according to Rabbi Yossi, he hasn't. Number two, if he's not exact and precise in pronouncing each letter and word, according to Rabbi Yossi, this time he does fulfill his obligation, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't. Number three, if you read the Pesukim in the wrong order, everyone agrees you do not fulfill your obligation. And if you are saying Kriya Shema and you're suddenly not sure where you were up to, you've got to go back to the last place where you're sure that you have said. Mishnah Daled brought out an important distinction between Kriya Shema and Tefillah. Namely, that Kriya Shema, in order to fulfill your obligation, according to the strict letter of the law, all you need to have done is have said the first sentence of Kriya Shema with proper intent. And therefore, even workers who are doing something in the trees or something, as long as they stop doing work, they do not need to come down in order to say Kriyas Shema. Rather, they can do it up there because it's much shorter and it doesn't require as much concentration as Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei, you would have to come down from the tree because that requires much more kavana. You're speaking to Hashem. You're begging Him for your life. And therefore, that requires full concentration. In Mishnah Hei, we brought out the concept of Ha'oseik B'mitzvah Potter Min HaMitzvah. The rule that if you are involved in one mitzvah, you're exempt from performing other mitzvahs. The issue our Mishnah was dealing with is what happens if you're distracted because of a mitzvah, but you're not actually performing the mitzvah right now. For example, a chassan, a groom who has just got married, and he hasn't yet had marital relations with his wife. So he's very anxious, and he can't concentrate properly, and therefore since the distraction comes as a result of the mitzvah of getting married and having children, he is exempt from saying Kriyas Shema for the first 4 nights of his marriage, unless he has relations earlier than that. Then the Mishnah has brought three stories of Rabban Gamliel, where he did something which seemingly went against halacha. His students asked him why, and then he explained himself. So the first one was that he actually said Kriyas Shema on the night that he got married. And the reason was because it's not forbidden to say Kriyas Shema, and he was on the level that he could concentrate then, and therefore he wanted to accept Hashem's sovereignty upon himself even in that situation. The second story in Mishnah Vav was that he washed himself in hot water whilst he was an ovel, whilst he was mourning over the death of his wife. He washed himself with hot water, which is usually forbidden for an ovel. But the reason why it was permitted for him was because he was very sensitive to the cold, and he wasn't washing for the sake of pleasure, he was washing to prevent him from having pain. And that is permitted, it's only forbidden for an ovel to do it out of pleasure, but not just to prevent him from having pain. Finally, the third story in Mishnah Zion was that when his servant, Tovi, who was a non-Jewish servant, when he died, even though usually one does not accept comforting words after burying his non-Jewish slave, because there was a custom for the people there to comfort the mourners after burying a relative in order to show honor to that person who had died. But when a servant dies, he's not the most honorable person, and therefore the custom was not to go through this process of comforting after a slave dies, yet Rabban Gamliel did. So the students asked him, how could you do that? You're making it seem as if he was a Jew, and now people might think that his children are Jewish, which could be a very big problem. People might marry them. But Rabbi Gamliel explained, no, Tovi was a very righteous slave. He was deserving of this honor, and therefore he's different to other slaves. And so even though he's not even related to me, I'm still going to give him honor, because he of all servants deserved it. Then after going sidetracked to these stories, the Mishnah went back to the discussion of the groom and said that what happens if a normal chosam wants to read Kriya Shema when he gets married? According to the Tanakhama, he can, but according to Shimon ben Gamliel, you can't, because it looks like arrogance, saying that you're on the level to concentrate even at that time, and therefore it's better that you shouldn't read Kriya Shema then, so as not to appear arrogant. So let's just go over the simonim for that perek. There are 8 Mishnayos. The first Mishnah was Kure Batura, that was to do with when he's leaning and wants to fulfill his obligation of Shema. Mishnah Beis has been Aparakim, and explains which are the different sections of Kriya Shema. Mishnah Gimel was Lo Dikdik, when you're not exact in how you say Shema. Mishnah Dalad is Umnin, workers who are up in the tree, whether they have to come down for Shema or Shemana Esrei. Mishnah He is Chosan. Mishnah Vov is Rochatz, referring to the story where Rabban Gamliel washed himself even when he was an Ovel. Mishnah Zayin is Tovi, Rabban Gamliel's servant. And Mishnah Ches was once again Chosan. It went back to the discussion of Mishnah He. So again, Kore Baturah, Bin Aprokim, Loi Dikdik, Umnin, Chosan, Rochatz, Tovi, Chosan. Now let's go to Perek Gimel and let's list the simonim now. The simon for the first Mishnah is Mesoi, someone's dead relative. That's to do with when he is busy burying the dead body. Mishnah Beis is Kovru, that's what they do once they have buried the dead body. Mishnah Gimel is Noshim, it discusses people who are exempt from certain mitzvahs, and that includes women. Mishnah Dalad is Baal Keri. Mishnah He is Dvorim Shebikdusha, which means holy words, holy things, such as davening and Kriyas Shema, and in which situations you're not allowed to say those things. And Mishnah Vav is Zov, which discussed whether somebody should go to the mikveh if he will remain Tomei as a Zov, even after going to the mikveh. So, Mishnah Aleph. If somebody's relative has died and he hasn't yet buried them, he is called an Oinein. And an Oinein is exempt from performing mitzvahs, including Kriyas Shema, because he is involved in the mitzvah of burying his dead relative. And we've got the rule of Ha'oseik b'mitzvah, potar min ha-mitzvah. One who's involved in one mitzvah, in this case burying his dead relative, is exempt from other mitzvahs, including Kriyas Shema. Now what about those who are involved in the burial who aren't necessarily relatives? So that's also a mitzvah, and therefore anybody who is part of the procession, part of the levaya of the dead body, if they are carrying the coffin or they're going to carry the coffin, then they're exempt. But if they're just there to accompany the coffin, then they are obligated to say Kriyas Shema, because like we said, they could just say the first posuk with proper intent, so stand up still for the first posuk, and then continue walking with the dead body, and that way fulfill both mitzvahs at the same time. And when you can fulfill both at the same time, we do not apply the rule of Ha'oseik b'mitzvah, potar min ha-mitzvah. However, they are exempt from saying Shemona Esrei, either because it's only midrabanan, or because, like we said before, it needs extra kavana, which you can't have while you're accompanying a dead body, and therefore you would be exempt. Mishnah Beis, once they had buried the dead body, so they had the custom to comfort the mourners. And the Mishnah brought down 2 different customs which applied at different periods of history. One was that they would go in rows, in lines of people, and walk past the mourners and comfort them. So the mourners first would step a few steps away from the grave, and then the people would start walking towards them. So if there's enough time in between the burial and when you'll get to the mourners, in order for you to say the first sentence or the first paragraph of Shema, then you should do so. But if there's not enough time to say that, then you shouldn't even start saying the Kriya Shema, because we look at it as one prolonged mitzvah. Because the comforting comes so close to the burial, we look at it as one big mitzvah of giving honor to the dead body, to the dead person, and therefore you're still involved in the mitzvah, so you don't need to even start saying Kriya Shema. Now when it comes to the custom where the mourners are the ones who walk through the people standing there, they walk in between them. So if you're in an inner row and the mourners can see your face, then you can't say Kriyas Shema, because you will be actually comforting the mourners. But if you're far back and the mourners can't even see you, then you can say Kriyas Shema because you're not really contributing enough to comforting the mourners. Mishnah Gimel told us that women are exempt from Kriyas Shema and Tefillin because they are both mitzvahs aseh shazman geroma, a positive mitzvah which is bound to a specific time. Non-Jewish slaves have the same halacha as a woman and therefore it's the same. And children are also exempt because they're not going to be with their fathers when they need to say Kriyas Shema. However, these 3 people are obligated to daven because everyone needs Hashem's mercy. They're obligated to have a mezuzah, that's not time-bound. And they're obligated to bench, even though the Torah talks of benching in the context of the land of Israel, and they did not have a portion in the land of Israel. Nevertheless, they are obligated to bench. Mishnah Dalad introduced to us the enactment of Ezra, that a Baal Keri is not allowed to learn or daven verbally. And the Mishnah told us that a Baal Keri should say the words of Kriyas Shema in his head, because that's midoraisa. But the brachas, he doesn't even need to say in his head, because that's midrabanan. And the same thing applies to food. He should make a bracha in his head after having proper food, because that's midoraisa, b'chsamazayin. But he doesn't need to say it before in his head, because that's midrabanan. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that actually in all these cases, you can actually say the words of Kriyat Shema and the brachas, because according to him, the enactment was only not to learn complicated, intricate details of halacha. Mishnah, hey, what happens if someone was in the middle of Shemona Esrei when he realized that he was a Baal Keri? So he's not actually allowed to be saying Shemona Esrei. We said because Shemona Esrei is so important and everybody needs to ask Hashem for things, we allow him to finish the Shemona Esrei and say the words. However, he should do it in a shortened form. Now, if a Baal Keri went to the mikveh in the morning before saying Kriyat Shema, if there's enough time before sunrise to come out and get dressed and say Kriyat Shema, he should do that. But if not, then he should cover himself just with the water, as long as it's not clear water, and then he should say Kriyat Shema before Nitz. He's got to make sure, however, that the water is not very smelly, it's not foul water, and if it's urine, then he has to add some water to it, and if there's any excrement there, then he has to distance himself at least 4 amos away from it, and make sure that he cannot smell it. Again, because the Vorim Shebekedusha, which means words of holiness, davening and learning, cannot be said in the presence of these things. Mishnah Vov, what happens if somebody has a high level of Tumah, even higher than a Baal Keri, and that period of Tumah lasts even longer than the Tumah of a Baal Keri? But then he also becomes a Baal Keri. According to the Tanakhama, he still needs to go to the mikveh before learning or saying Kriyat Shema, or davening, because the point of going to the mikveh has nothing to do with Tumah and Tahara. It's to do with Ezra's enactment. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, once he has a higher level of Tumah, then we totally ignore the lower level of Tumah, and imagine as if he wasn't a Baal Keri at all, and therefore he can learn and say Kriyat Shema even without going to the mikveh. We also did the first Mishnah of Perek Dalad. The Siman was Zamani Tefillah, the times for davening, and the times are based on when the Korbanos could be brought. So for Shachris, the Tanakhama says you've got until midday, Rabbi Yehuda says you've got until 4 hours of the day. Mincha, according to the Tanakhama, you've got from 6.5 hours into the day until sunset, although ideally it should be only from 9.5 hours onwards. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you've got only until Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha is the middle time of saying Mincha. And this is talking about the ideal time to say Mincha, which is from 9.5 hours. So from 9.5 hours until the end of the day, that's 2.5 hours altogether. Halfway through there is Plag HaMincha, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the latest time to daven Mincha. Everybody agrees that you can say Mariv, Shmona Esrei all night. And when it comes to Musaf, according to the Tanakhama, you've got all day. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you've got until 7 hours only, because there had to be enough time afterwards in the Beis HaMikdash to bring the afternoon korbanos, which were bought each day.